Well, happy Father's Day to all of you fathers out there. I hope that all of you get a chance to be with your dads today. I'm looking forward to lunch with my dad and my kids this afternoon. And this morning, we get a look at Proverbs 4, where we see a longing, imploring invitation and instruction from a father to his son. And there's some wisdom here for us to get, to grasp. And if we do, it will help us understand all of Proverbs and all of our lives. So let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for every man and woman and child who are listening this morning. God, we come before you. We ask you to teach us, to help us to grasp and understand you and your way of life, way to life. God, please speak to us. So we give our morning to you and to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you guys will open up your Bibles to Proverbs 4, or your phone up to Proverbs 4, this is going to be your PowerPoint. This is what I want you guys looking at. So look at Proverbs 4, and we're going to be looking at Proverbs 4, 20 through 27. And let me read it for you guys. My son, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to my sayings. Don't lose sight of them. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. Don't let your mouth speak dishonestly. Don't let your lips talk deviously. Let your eyes look forward. Fix your gaze straight ahead. Carefully consider the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your feet from evil. As we've been reading Proverbs, and as we read these verses here, I'm reminded of a time where I was leaving a friend's apartment. I've been hanging out. It was late at night, and so we left, and it was dark, and the stars were out. And I had to get to my car, which was across a big field next to the apartment complex. And as I'm walking, I make it about a third of the way across the field when I step in something soft and squishy and slip and almost fall. And I don't even have to look down to realize what I just stepped in. Because there's the feeling, the texture, and the smell. I knew that I had just stepped in relatively fresh dog poop. And I'm a Boy Scout, so I pull out my flashlight, and I'm looking around, and I realize, yep, it's dog poop. Oh, and there's more, and there's more, and there's more. And this is the field that every dog owner in this entire complex takes their dog to do its business. And they're mostly college students, which means they don't pick up after their dogs, unfortunately. And so I realize I have to walk very carefully so I can not only get the dog poop that I currently have off my shoes, but I have to walk very carefully so I don't, and I have this picture in my head that I'm going to step on some slip, fall, and land in more dog poop and just be covered in it. We have to walk carefully. And in Proverbs, we see that there is only one path, and we have to walk on it carefully to find life, to find wisdom. And unfortunately, the reality is that our lives, when we are out in life, in work, in our neighborhoods, amongst our friends, watching TV at home, life itself is not a field filled with dog poop. Life is a minefield. And if we get distracted, if we don't pay attention, if we aren't watching where we're stepping, we're going to step on a mine. And it will hurt us and even kill us. And so we are implored, instructed, walk carefully, follow the path, pay attention. And so let's look again at Proverbs 4, 20-22. My son, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to my sayings. Don't lose sight of them. Keep them within your heart. For they are the life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. The father here is appealing to his son to embrace his teachings. He emphasizes parts of the bodies. Use your ears to listen. Fix your eyes. Use your eyes to see. Pay attention to my teachings. And these teachings here are the teachings of Proverbs, the doctrine of Proverbs. Some of this doctrine you know, like control your tongue, have good work ethic, save money, do good to your neighbor, etc., etc. Be holy and pure. But to gain wisdom, we must first listen to the right voice. So, we need to stop and ask ourselves, who are we listening to? What voices are we listening to? There are competing messages for Solomon's son. There are messages from the mouths of God, his father, counselors, peers, the adulterous woman, and others. And each one, each voice, wants his heart. They all want his heart. And the same is true for us. There are songs, movies, videos, Facebook, Instagram, family, friends, peers, coworkers, and they all have a message. They all are telling us the way to live, where to find life. They tell us what they think is wise, from what's the best to wear, what's the best phone, what's the best to believe, how to view the world, when to start a relationship with and who. All of it. And so what comes into our eyes and our ears has access to our heart. It's reality. And this is why it is absolutely essential for us to know wisdom, memorize wisdom, meditate on wisdom, and work it deep into our heart. Words must go through our ears and our eyes and get to our hearts for us to truly obey the wisdom of God. And this is a constant theme in Proverbs. In Proverbs 2:10 and 3:1, we see wisdom must enter your heart to keep you from evil. In Proverbs 3:3 and 7:3, it says, the wise teaching must be written on the tablet of your heart. Just like the Ten Commandments were written on the tablets of stone, so wisdom must be written on the tablet of our heart for us to walk in it. And this brings us to Proverbs 4:23. And Proverbs 4:23 is one of the key verses for understanding Proverbs and all of life. And it says, guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. I've said heart a lot. Why is the heart so important? For all of you moms and dads out there, and I'll pick on the dads because it's Father's Day. Dads, have you ever tried to teach your kids something important and it hasn't landed? You try and you try and you try and you need them to get it. You know they need to know it and they don't get it, do they? I know as a kid, my dad and my mom tried to teach me over and over again to keep my room clean. But my room was a walking hazard filled with Legos and toys. And I found that out late at night when I had to go to the bathroom. I'd get up and step on several things and I hurt my feet. And they would teach me and they instruct me and they train me. And I learned very carefully how to stuff all of my toys underneath my bed and my shelves and into my closet so it looked clean enough for me to go watch some TV. But I didn't learn what they were trying to teach me. I didn't learn to take care of my stuff or the value of what it means to live an orderly life so that it will bless me later, or take care of my things so they last, or that it's not very hospitable to friends if they can't walk in your room. Have you ever had a habit you've tried to break, or a diet that you've started because you know you need to try to lose some weight? What happens? What happens when we try to break a habit? What happens when we start a diet? Well, a few weeks go by, or you pick a terrible time, like right before Thanksgiving or Christmas, and man, those cookies look good. You miss ice cream or Doritos. And then you eat a little bit, and you'll eat a little bit, and the pounds come right back. In the same way, has there been sinful, foolish behavior that you just can't seem to stop? You maybe have asked God over and over and over again to take it away. Please take it away. You know that it's wrong and destructive, sinful or unwise, but you just can't stop. It's a continual struggle. And so we put up guards. We put up guards. We try to erect walls to stop us from doing those things. For instance, let's say that you struggle with pornography. So you say, okay, I don't want to look at porn anymore. So what I need to do is I need to put blockers on my computer and my tablet and my phone, and that'll keep me from being able to access those sites that I shouldn't go to. And I'll put on accountability software so it won't be hidden anymore. It'll be out in the open. And that'll help. That'll keep me. But what happens? Days, weeks, maybe a month goes by, and you find a way around the software. Or you just learn you can just turn it off for a moment and then turn it back on. It doesn't stop. Let's say you struggle with getting angry, getting frustrated with your kids a lot, or your husband, or your wife. And it leads to words that come out of your mouth that are yelling or tearing, not loving speech coming out of your mouth. And so you say, okay, I'm gonna count to 10. Next time I'm just gonna count to 10, let cool off for a moment, and then I'll move on. Or you think, okay, I just need to just be quiet, don't say anything, walk away. Well, what happens? A few days later, maybe a week later, maybe you're doing really good, and you forget to count to 10. Or worse, rather than just walking away from you sinning against them, you start ignoring your kids, your wife, your husband. It leads to a whole different problem. You didn't solve one, you created another. Why don't these things work? I've heard that trying to change our behavior and attitudes in these ways is like trying to get rid of dandelions by mowing. And if you've ever mowed a lawn with dandelions, it seems like they multiply like rabbits after you mow. And they're back in like 2 days. It's insane. Well, why doesn't it work to mow over dandelions? Because the only way to get rid of dandelions is to get rid of the root. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. The heart is the source of life. It is the root of who we are. Everything that comes out of us comes from our heart. And we have a problem. We have broken and sinful hearts. In Proverbs 22:15, it says, "Foolishness is bound to the heart of youth." Proverbs 20, verse 9 says, "Who can say, I have kept my heart pure? I am cleansed from my sin. I have kept my heart pure, and I have cleansed myself." No one can say that. Proverbs 28:26, "The one who trusts in himself is a fool." If you trust in your own heart, you're a fool. Our hearts will lead us astray. So if you ever hear a voice, message, counsel tell you, trust in your heart. Let your heart guide you. That is dumb advice. Don't listen to it. The reason we have bad behavior, bad attitudes, is because the source of our behavior is our heart, and our heart is bad. Jesus tells us in Matthew 12, 33 through 37, "Either make the tree good and its fruit will be good, or make the tree bad and the fruit will be bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. A good person produces good things and from his storeroom of good, and an evil person produces evil things from his storeroom of evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will come to have an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." And where do those words come from? Jesus just said, our heart. What comes out of our mouth comes from our heart. We will be judged by the state of our heart. Through Proverbs and Jesus, we see and we're told that our problem of sin starts as a heart problem first. Proverbs tells us that lust, deceit, anxiety, pride, jealousy, foolishness, at first is in the heart. And Jesus also tells us in Mark 7, 20-23, and he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of people's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual moralities, thefts, murders, adulteries, greed, evil actions, deceit, self-indulgence, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a person. Like smoke tells you where the fire is, our words, attitudes, and actions tell us the state of our heart and where our heart actually is." When my daughter was 4, I asked her permission before I told the story. When my daughter, Eva, who's 8 now, was 4, we came home from Stonebrook one Sunday and we found that she had a new toy that she had taken from the nursery without asking. And so we had to sit her down and we explained that this was stealing and this was wrong. And she said she understood and she wouldn't do it again. And then later that week, we came home from a friend's house and she had another new toy. And so we sat her down and we instructed her and we disciplined her and she said, "Yeah, this is wrong, I won't do it again." Then it happened again and again and again and again, and we would instruct and we would train and we would talk and we realized we weren't reaching her heart. There was a heart problem. And so my wife and I had to sit down, we had to think, okay, what is the heart issue going on here? In her head, Eva will even admit in tears that this is wrong. But I'm not getting to her heart yet. So what is the heart problem? Well, we saw it play out even in other areas of her life as we were watching, whether she was fighting over a toy that a sibling had or something, we saw a lack of contentment in what she had. We saw a lack of thankfulness in what she had. And there was a lack of generosity, desiring to give even to others, the opposite of greed. And so we prayed and thought, how do we instruct this? How do we warn her on the path she's on? And how do we instruct her that in a way that it might reach her heart, hopefully? Not that this is a cure-all, but we took a dozen garbage bags and went into her bedroom. We brought her in and we told her we loved her. And then we took all of her toys and put them in garbage bags. And she got to pick out one toy to keep. And we told her that if you're stealing right now, and so you've lost our trust. And if you steal from your friends, you're going to lose friends. And that happens right now when you're a kid. But when you're an adult and you steal, you're going to get arrested. And if you keep stealing, you're going to go to jail and lose everything. This will lead to death. So, we are so happy that you have good things. But we care far more about your life and your heart than we do about your stuff. So we set out a path for 6 months where if she stole at all, we would throw all of her stuff away. And hopefully if that happened, it would be a wake-up call. But each month, if she didn't steal, she got one toy back. And one toy back. And one toy back. And over those months, that wasn't just a one-point thing. It was, we were trying to demonstrate, live out, give you an example in thankfulness and generosity and teach her contentment, thankfulness and generosity as much as we could through actions, through lives, demonstrating and teaching. And by the grace of God, it landed. It started to work into her heart and we saw less fighting over toys. We started to see thankfulness, genuine gratitude, moments of generosity where she would give to others. And she didn't steal, naturally. And at the end of 6 months, she got her toys back. But that's not the happy ending. It's not even the happy ending that she stopped stealing. Our daughter grew in contentment and thankfulness. But what helped us as parents see the state of our daughter's heart? It was her actions and her attitudes and interactions with her siblings. Jesus says in Matthew 15 and 18 through 19, "But what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart, and this defiles a person, for from the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, sexual immoralities, thefts, false testimony, slander." The heart is the problem, and we need a new heart. We come to Proverbs 4, 25 through 27. "Let your eyes look forward. Fix your gaze straight ahead. Carefully consider your path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your feet away from evil." Fix your eyes. Seek, look, fix your eyes. That means when something's fixed, it doesn't move. We built the stairs that go up to the upper room. I was working construction in those years. And we put liquid nails underneath each step as we nailed them down. They're not going anywhere. They're fixed. Fix your eyes on treasure, on wisdom. I like this picture of treasure of wisdom that I got this from Craig McClanahan. Wisdom is understanding of reality, how God designed life to be lived, which enables a person to live skillfully. Wisdom comes from God. He freely gives it to all who diligently seek it. It is intimately intertwined with the knowledge of him and his ways. Proverbs 9:10. "Those who head down the way of wisdom are choosing to live their lives as God designed life to be lived from the beginning, in intimate relationship with him, following his standards of goodness and righteousness. Those who choose to live their lives in this way become worshipful recipients of his goodness forever." Solomon warns his son, keep his eyes on the path, carefully consider his next step, his way, because if he wanders, it will lead him into a minefield. Solomon is very concerned his son would get this. We need to get this too. Because we cannot walk in the wisdom of Proverbs 10 through 31, which leads to life, if we do not have a new heart, if it does not reach our heart. True change must start at the heart level. How do we get a new heart? It's obviously the next question. Now, the first step in having a new heart is to believe that the Bible is truly the Word of God and that Jesus is who he says he is and that he did what it says he did. That Jesus was the Son of God sent to earth to live a perfect life, to die for sin, pay a debt that we could not pay. And that if we believe in him, that his life was enough, his death was enough to pay for our sin, that we will be right with God and have eternal life. And there's a promise of a new heart. And if this doesn't make sense to you, if you're not sure you believe this, if you have questions about this, this is the starting point, and that's okay. I just spent a couple sentences on this. Talk it out. This is the starting point of life. This is the starting point of wisdom for you. Talk to a friend. Talk to me. Talk to somebody who knows God, who you can work this out with. And then for all of us who have understood the gospel and believed it, we have the righteousness of Jesus. And Jesus is standing at the right hand of God as our advocate, saying, I paid for that sin and that sin and that sin and that sin and that sin. And so it's okay that we aren't okay yet. That our hearts are still broken today. But because of Christ, because of Jesus, it is not okay for us to stay where we are today. To let our hearts stay as broken as they are right now. Because we are promised that in Christ today, we can have our hearts renewed, made new. We can be sanctified. And we're promised that on, this is something for us to look forward to, because our hearts are still broken today. They might be hopefully a little bit renewed tomorrow. When Jesus comes back, there will be a day and we will have a completely new heart. It will be whole. But before I run out of time, I want to give you guys some practicals on how to get wisdom into your heart. How to guard your heart. How to fix your eyes. So I want to go back to where we started. I want to ask you guys this question again. Who are you giving access to your heart? Through your ears and through your eyes. We live in an era where more people have access to our hearts than many other times in human history. We have thousands of voices in our pocket on our phone, on our computers which are in front of us, on the TV that we have easy access to. We have more than just our neighbors and our family and our coworkers. We have millions of other voices. And we have granted easy access to our heart to people who want to teach us things that will lead to death. There are shows that we watch, and the main message is stuff that will kill us if we start to believe it. Even political talk shows. I don't know what all you listen to. This needs to be between you and God. Who do you need to unsubscribe from? What show do you need to stop watching? What book do you need to set down and never pick up again? What band should you stop listening to? What songs? You tell me. And then, the other question is, how loud is God's voice in your heart? How much time do you give through your ears and your eyes to hear and fix your gaze on Him? I will know that you get this. You will know that you get this when you start tuning out from things and keeping things out and tuning in more. Your actions will change when this lands. You might agree with me here, right? You might intellectually assent this is good and this is wise, but how do we know it's starting to get here? Where do we need it to get, guys? We need it to get here. And it takes time. I know I need to get up daily and get in the Word. I need to memorize and meditate and study. I need to talk about it with other people and chew on it and wrestle over it. It's hard to understand. There's deep things to know. I need regular time, not just to read and get input, but just even to think, how am I doing? How do I feel? What's going on? What's going on in my heart? How am I loving people? What's going on in my heart? Otherwise, I don't even know how I'm doing. You'll ask, how are you doing? I'm going, well, busy. That's not how I'm doing. It takes time for us to take time to know how we are actually doing in our hearts. It's just like Solomon says, it takes thoughtful, careful devotion to walk in wisdom, to find life. Okay, so when we sin, not if, when we sin, we need to recognize that what we have is a heart problem. It's a heart issue that needs to be discovered and addressed. And before we can even get access to our heart, if you've been in the Bible a lot, if you've been reading this for years, you've grown up in the church, you've heard a lot of Sunday teachings, you probably have a lot of stuff here. And that can often get in the way of realizing and being able to admit that you don't have it here yet. Because your words, your attitudes, and your actions expose that although it's here, not all of it's here yet. So first, you have to be willing to admit my lack of love, my easy frustration, my lust. So what does it tell you? We have to be willing to actually admit it. My heart believes something that isn't true. Then we might know the truth here. Remember, it has to get here. Just because your heart doesn't believe it true doesn't make it not true. I'll give you a couple of examples that how I walk in this. There's times I wake up in the morning, and although I was excited about God, but right before I went to bed, I wake up and I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to pray. That's my desire. It's my attitude. I don't want to. Why? What just happened? All I did was sleep. Oh, I have to think. Okay. Whoa. If I really believed that God loves me more than anyone else in the universe ever will, more than my wife, more than my parents, more than you guys, He loves me more than anyone else, and He's the best dad ever. You know, growing up, you know, your dad's stronger than my dad, or my dad's stronger than your dad. Well, my dad's smarter than your dad. Well, my dad made your dad. That's my cool God. That's my Father. And this is His word, and this is how He wants to speak to me, and I get to speak to Him through prayer. If that was real, I would want to. If that was real here, I would want to. You'd have a hard time putting this down. You'd have a hard time stopping praying, right? So what are you believing? That is true. That is true. What's going on? It's amazing what I've dug up from my heart. Sometimes I'm afraid of what God's going to tell me, or I'm mad at Him because this bad thing happened, but we have to take time to look and admit what it is what's going on in our heart. And then once that gets brought up, it can get addressed. The truth can get there and go deeper and deeper and deeper. If you're frustrated with your kids, if you're frustrated with your spouse, if kids, you get mad at your siblings. We need to pause and go, why? Why am I mad? Because if I love people like Jesus does, I would love even my enemies. He came to die for us, not on our best day, but on our worst day when we hated Him. If we love people, so why? What's going on? Why don't I have that heart? We have to get exposed. And when it happens, it goes deeper and it changes our lives and we get a renewed heart. So, the treasure is there. We have to walk carefully along the path. Otherwise, we were going to walk into a minefield, and on any treasure hunt, you have to hunt for the treasure. You have to pay close attention to the map. And normally, you have to dig a bit. So I'm calling you. I'm imploring you as a father. The word is imploring to us. Will we pay attention? Will we get it? Will we hunt? Or will we wander? I love you guys. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for how you patiently instruct us as obstinate, stubborn, disobedient kids, honestly. You are an awesome dad. God, I thank you for how you love us first, and so we get to love you and we have life with you. And so, Father, I ask you, please help us as we carefully walk out, pursue life, pursue wisdom. Give us this wisdom. Also, help this to go deep into our lives, but help us go apply this to raising our kids, aiming for their hearts, or if we're discipling, for the men and women we're building into, that we would recognize that we need to help reach their hearts, help that truth get into their hearts as well. And so, God, change our lives as we understand your wisdom. We give our lives to you, God. Thank you so much for all that you've given to us. In Jesus' name, amen.